As chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois, House Speaker Michael Madigan ran the show for Illinois' delegation last week at the Democratic National Convention. He took some time to sit down in Philadelphia with me, Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky, as well as WBBM Radio's Craig Delamore. Madigan began the joint interview talking about the effect Bernie Sanders and his most vocal supporters have had on the Democratic Party.
Just this morning, I complimented the Illinois delegation because we've maintained a very calm composure within the Illinois delegation. I complimented Kevin O'Keefe on behalf of the Clinton campaign, Clem Balanoff and Dan Johnson Weinberger on behalf of the Saunders campaign for working behind the scenes with different people where there could have been some disruptive events. They did very well among Illinois Democrats. We've been calm. We're prepared to leave the convention, go forward to the general election, and carry our campaign against the extremism of Trump and Rauner in Illinois.
You're seen, I think, are widely described as a more moderate Democrat. Do you agree with that characterization, and how does that fit into with, on one side, this movement from the Sanders progressive side of the party that is demanding action, while at the same time, you do have to deal with a Republican governor?
I always classify myself as a Democrat. I don't use an adjective when I describe my political party. I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat for a long time. I've seen, experienced, lived through significant changes in the American Democratic Party, and I'm still here. I'm still at it. I'm still serving as the chair of the Democratic Party of Illinois. I think that Bernie Sanders and the Sanders campaign have done a great service for the Democratic Party in America because he shaped some very significant issues. Number one, he spoke eloquently to the issue of income inequality, which I think was the engine behind his success in the primaries. He spoke to the financial abuses on Wall Street. He spoke to the question of affordability of a college education. These are all solid issues. Bernie Sanders shaped those issues. He brought them before the public. He created enthusiasm among new voters who I feel will participate in the general election, and I think that they will reject the extremism of Trump and Rauner in Illinois. So, as I said, I think Bernie Sanders has done a great service for the Democratic Party of America.
But does the Democratic Party of Illinois need to make any changes because of the kinds of issues that have been raised? Are there things that you're going to have to do differently?
We should, we must, and we will. That's part of the success of the Democratic Party of America in Illinois. We always strive to recognize emerging problems, emerging concerns, and we try to adapt to those emerging ideas. As I just said, income inequality, financial abuse on Wall Street, college affordability. We'll work to be at the head of the curve on those issues.
What practically does that mean? Do you have any policy agenda that you can outline now?
Well, as an example on college affordability, we fought for a year and a half against the extreme efforts of Governor Rauner to either reduce or eliminate the MAP program in Illinois. The MAP program is a program that helps poor kids get through college. Democrats in the Illinois legislature fully support that program. We passed several bills to implement the program. Governor Rauner has worked against the funding for the program. Now, in the end, as part of a negotiated settlement, he agreed to pay for the full MAP program in the last budget year, leaving open the next budget year. So if you're a poor student today planning to attend college in Illinois starting in September, you don't know the status of the MAP program. You don't know whether there'll be state support for your college tuition or whether it won't be there. That's the product of the Rauner extremism in Illinois. It's wrong. It ought not to happen. If Bruce Rauner wants to pick on some people, he ought to find some big people to pick on, not little people that are trying to put themselves through college.
A couple of times during this convention, you've tried to link Governor Rauner with the Donald Trump agenda. Mm-hmm. Where is the connection, and can you make that stick when Governor Rauner is trying to keep some distance between himself and Donald Trump?
I would hope it would have been more than a few times.
several dozen.
Yeah.
Bruce Rauner is of record that he will fully support the Trump candidacy. It's documented. It's available. He's trying to backpedal by not attending the Republican convention in Cleveland, but he is of record that he fully supports Trump. And if you study the statements and the actions of both men, you'll see a great similarity in their methods, in how they castigate people, and how they're always criticizing people, never talking about their own programs. And so I think I'm fully justified in linking Trump and Rauner together in extremism. I view them as extreme. I don't think America likes extremism. I think America wants a full, healthy debate, and then they want people to come together and settle somewhere in the middle. That's what I've argued in terms of the number one problem facing the government of the state of Illinois, which is the current budget deficit problem. If you're searching for a problem that afflicts the state of Illinois, it's the budget deficit problem. We should have solved this problem a year and a half ago. I was prepared to do it. I stated it publicly at the time of my inauguration as Speaker. I said I was prepared to work on the problem. I didn't think you could simply cut your way out of the budget deficit problem. You needed a balanced approach, some reductions in spending, some new revenue. And I was prepared to negotiate with the governor on the new revenue. The governor chose not to do that. He chose to follow a different course. He wants to talk about things like workers' compensation, collective bargaining, prevailing wage. All of those issues, if Rauner were to be successful, would reduce the wages and the standard of living of middle-class Illinoisans. I'm against that. I think the government ought not to be in the business of working to reduce wages and the standard of living of anybody, especially the middle class and the poor. The government ought to be in the business, as it has been in America since 1933, of working to raise wages, raise the standard of living, make life better for people that are willing to work and go to a job.
You're listening to a portion of an interview with House Speaker Michael Madigan in Philadelphia last week for the Democratic National Convention. He's speaking with me, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio, Amanda Vinicky, in a joint interview with WBBM Radio's Craig Delamore. Madigan is the nation's longest-serving House Speaker. He's held that post for all but a couple of years since 1983. While Madigan was in Philadelphia, Republican Governor Bruce Rauner was holding events in Illinois calling for term limits. We'll pick up the conversation with Madigan with a question about term limits. You said the governor should pick on, you know, the big people instead of the small, and he has most certainly decided, I think, that you are one of those people. It frames you as the poster child, the poster speaker for term limits. Can you speak to, number one, why not allow a vote on that? It is popular. I know your stance on why you're personally against it. And second of all, what perhaps are the advantages of having a longtime speaker?
Well, number one, I support term limits as administered by the voters of the state. In the last primary election, friends of Bruce Rauner spent over $1 million in an Illinois House district on the southwest side of Chicago attempting to remove me from office. The voters of that district recognized who the enemy was and decided to keep me in office. That's how term limits should be administered. If the voters of my district were prepared to dismiss me, they could have voted me out of office last March. They didn't. Number two, in terms of the benefits of longevity, why I think it's pretty clear that my longevity has put me into a position where I can successfully resist the extremism of Rauner, provide a check against the extreme ideas that he wants to bring into government, the ideas of reducing wages and the standard of living, hurting the vulnerable in our society. These are all extreme ideas. They have no place in a state like Illinois. There may be other states in the nation where they would welcome things like this. Rauner ought to go there.
Let's look at the political landscape here in Illinois for a bit, because there is a national election that's going to be held, and that's going to impact on what happens to the legislature as well. How concerned are you about the appeal of Donald Trump's message in certain parts of the state?
Trump will get support in certain portions of the state. In Illinois as a whole, I think that Trump will be rejected because of his messaging. on our side of the equation why we will do good, solid messaging, which would be in the best interest of all Illinoisans. We've stood as a check against the excesses of Rauner in the legislature. We'll continue to do that. We don't think the government should be used to reduce wages and the standard of living of the middle class or to hurt the vulnerable. We're against that. We're going to continue to stand against that. That'll be part of our messaging. I think that the voters of Illinois will support the Democratic messaging. I think the voters of Illinois recognize that it's in the best interest of the state of Illinois and the people of Illinois to have a check in place against the extremism of Bruce Rauner.
How many seats do you realistically think you can pick up, if you think you can pick up seats in this current cycle?
You know, I don't think along those lines because it's going to be a very interesting election. Clearly, it's not going to be an ordinary election. You know, you've got different personalities here, different types of personalities, different approaches. And so given all of that, why there could be surprises in the election. We could suffer losses or we could have gains. Either way, I think that on election night in November, we will know because of our messaging and our message to the people of Illinois that Illinois Democrats will continue to serve as a check against the excesses and the extremism of Bruce Rauner.
I was going to ask, is that election and how well the Democrats versus the Republicans do going to drive what happens even in the budget standoff? I mean, is a message going to be sent, and should this be a message?
I would hope that the message delivered to Governor Rauner would be, "Dear Governor, please stop being so extreme. Please be reasonable. Please be moderate." The negotiations over the budget in Springfield is pretty similar to what happens in collective bargaining, where people stake out early positions and then bargain, negotiate, move to the middle. That's what I've encouraged him to do since January of 2015, to publicly recognize that there is a problem in Illinois. It's called the budget deficit problem. It constitutes a handicap upon the ability of the government to do what it's supposed to do for working people and for the vulnerable. It severely afflicts the credit rating of the state, and we ought to be about the business as soon as possible to correct that problem. It can be done if people sit, negotiate, bargain, be reasonable. We've done budget making under Governor Rauner on 7 separate occasions since he became governor, because on those 7 occasions he dropped his claim for a turnaround agenda. That's the solid evidence to support my position. If we forget about the turnaround agenda and just do budget making, which then takes us into the budget deficit problem, it can be done. It has been done 7 times.
You have had a super majority, although you've described it as not always a fully functioning one. How important is it that you retain or maybe get, however you want to frame it, a supermajority in this election? And is there anything to be said that it might be advantageous to not have a supermajority, given that Governor Bruce Rauner constantly points his finger at you and says, "Michael Madigan, the Democrats control the General Assembly"? Would he be able to say that anymore if you don't have those numbers?
Rather than being focused on the numbers and whether it's 71 or 72 or 73 or 69 or 68, rather than being focused on that, I'm really focused on having a good, solid working majority in the House and the Senate so that we can continue to constitute an effective check against the excesses and the extremism of Rauner. I'm not so focused on the final numbers. I just want to have a good working majority, which we have today. As you know, we have not had a day-to-day supermajority. From day to day, there'd be one surprise after another.
But is a check enough, or do you want or need enough to affirmatively do things?
Given the nature of the number one problem, I don't think the focus should be on 71, 72, 73. The focus should be on the budget deficit problem. That will require people coming together, without regard to the numbers in the legislature. What we need is for the governor to become reasonable, to recognize that Illinois is not some extreme right state in the right part of America. It's a moderate state. It's in the middle of the country. It's a mainstream state. And the people of Illinois expect the public officials in the state not to be extreme, but to be reasonable. And that's what we need. If we were to do that, as we did on seven separate occasions on budget making, we could solve that problem. And we wouldn't be so concerned about the financial problems of the state. We could give more time to improving education. We could give more time to improving the mental health system, which is very, very important. All of that would be areas of opportunity, but we have to correct the ship of state on finances.
And yet, you said yesterday that you haven't spoken with Governor Bruce Rauner since the temporary budget was passed. How much work is being done on this budget situation, should be being done, and is there any hope of that given what seems to very clearly be a lack of trust at its most basic level between you and the governor, or at least any sort of solid functioning relationship?
Let me make the point that Governor Rauner and I have spoken on numerous occasions, and we speak when it's appropriate to speak. We don't spend a lot of time speaking when it's not appropriate or it's not productive. We spoke on several occasions. We will speak on several occasions. To me, we just need people to come together. That's what we need. We need people to acknowledge, look, here's the real problem affecting the state. Let's look at each other. Let's talk about this, and let's try and get the job done. Illinois has a history of cooperation between Republican governors and Democratic legislatures. Jim Thompson was the governor of Illinois for 14 years, and there was only one two-year period where the Republicans controlled just the Senate. Jim Edgar only had 2 years where he had a Republican control of the legislature. George Ryan was required to work with a Democratic legislature. So the record of those three prior Republican governors is a record of cooperation, recognizing that there are competing interests in the state, but there can be shared agreement on the solution to problems. Once we get to that condition, we'll be in a position to do a lot of good for the state and for the people of the state.
Publicly, the governor continues to suggest that there is still a tug of war between you and Senate President John Cullerton, and that there are differences, and he keeps at least publicly trying to exploit that. How's that going?
Well, in terms of what the governor's goal is, it's not going too well. What the governor should understand is that that's an old divide-and-conquer theory which was practiced by the British against the Irish. And he's working with two Irishmen, Madigan and Cullerton, who are very aware of the British history of divide and conquer, and we're not going to permit that to happen.
Your party has nominated the first woman to be president. You are the father of daughters, including one who is, of course, a politician, holds statewide office. Any significance there? Can you reflect on, as the longest-serving state legislator in Illinois, the change since you first got into office and what it is like now for women?
I started to work at the Constitutional Convention in December of 1969, and I started in the legislature in January of 1971. So from 1970 until today, there's been dramatic changes in the country, dramatic changes in Illinois, dramatic changes in the Democratic Party. And as we view that 45-year history of the country, as we reflect on the prior 45 years, as we look forward to the next 45, I think there's one significant point that ought to be made, that in terms of progress and in terms of change, there's a better chance the Democratic Party is going to do it rather than the Republican Party. So it was the Democratic Party that nominated and elected the first African-American president of the United States of America. It's the Democratic Party that's nominated the first woman candidate for president of the United States. And I think that speaks to the strength and to the flexibility and the viability of the Democratic Party. And that's why we've enjoyed success in the country and in Illinois.
But along those lines, the pushback from the Republicans has, as you know, typified by Donald Trump, is to now say political correctness is a bad thing. And are you worried about a growing intolerance among segments of the population, that people now feel they have permission to say mean things about people or to be intolerant of people who are different from them?
I think you're referring to the methods of Donald Trump and at times Bruce Rauner. I think those methods are going to be rejected by the majority of people in America. Trump has his methods, he has his ways of doing things, and I think at the end of the day, the majority of Americans are going to say, that really doesn't have a place in America. America is a country that recognizes decency and tolerance and respect for others. And America is not a country that engages in undue criticism and petty criticisms. I just think that as we move forward into the general election, we'll have a referendum on what Trump does, how he says things, what he does to people. And I think that Americans are going to say, let's move forward with Hillary Clinton.
The thousands of people who've been cheering Donald Trump on at rallies, the talk radio, the social media.
Springfield Convention Center was filled like I've never seen it when he came to town.
That's to the credit of America. America's a free and open democracy. In other countries, that would not be permitted. That's to the credit of America. That's been our success. If you know the history of the country, you know that there's been periods like this in the past, different ideas advanced, enthusiasm. In the end, why the country speaks, and we normally get a good moderate result going forward.
This is kind of a silly question here, but I need to ask it. Since I started covering Illinois politics and government, there has been the legend of your routine, your regimen, especially when it comes to this apple a day and how it is sliced. Is this true or is that just urban legend?
Apple a day keeps the doctor away.
What kind of apple? Sliced?
Generally, it's Golden Delicious. Sometimes I think it's Honeycrisp.
Yeah. Those are my favorite.
Okay, good. Yeah. Remember that. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. It worked and it still works.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Democratic Party of Illinois Chairman Michael Madigan. He's also the longtime serving Illinois House Speaker. In an interview toward the end of last week, the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, he gave that joint interview to WBBM Radio's Craig Delamore and me. I'm Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky.